From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the fourth day of May 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's the senior grains analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, a bill ordering U.S. EPA to consider only direct life cycle greenhouse emissions has been proposed on the Hill. It would positively impact corn-based ethanol production as related to low carbon standards. And the World Health Organization says some 20 countries have banned pork trade because of H1N1. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories later in the half hour. And then as we close out this program in just 26 minutes, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast. It all happens right here on the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois campus in Urbana-Champaign.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to cooley at admworld.com.
In Chicago, on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. Nearby May wheat at $5.38.5, down 18 and three quarters today. July at 5.51, 19 cents lower. September at 5.77.5, down 19. And December futures at $6, down 18 and a half. In Kansas City, July hard red at $5.97 for the harvest month, down 17 and three quarters. From the corn pit back in Chicago, from the CME Group, $3.98 the settlement for the nearby May, down 8 1/4. July corn at 4.05 1/2, 8 1/4 lower. September at 4.14 1/2, down 8 cents. December futures 4.25 1/2, down 7 3/4. And the March 2010 contract in the corn at 4.37 3/4, down 7 1/4. May oat futures $1.96, down 4. From the soy complex, nearby May beans gained 13 1/4, up 13 1/4. At 11.15 1/4 on the settlement price for the May beans. July futures 11.03 1/2, down or rather up 12 1/2 cents. And the August soybeans at $10.68 on a settlement price up 9 cents. September futures 10.14 1/2, 3 1/2 higher. And November soybeans up down 1/2 at 9.70 1/2. January up 3/4 at 9.74 1/2. May meal at 3.57.60, up 3.90. May oil 51 higher at 37.94. Mercantile exchange numbers: June cattle at 81.87 1/2, down 22 1/2, and May lean hogs at 55.97 1/2, 2.50 lower. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Nearby June crude oil futures at $54.47 a barrel, up $1.27. July on the settlement at $56.18, up $1.64. Ethanol trading the May contract at $1.61 1/2, settled 1 8/10 lower. The natural gas at $3.71 1/10, up 16 1/2 there. June futures were 6 8/10 higher in the RBOB gasoline at $1.58 6/10, and the heating oil, that's diesel fuel, at $1.43 even, up 4 2/10 cents today. June propane futures at 65 1/10, just 3 1/10 cents higher, and the gold futures now trading on a settlement price actually at $901.61, or at $901.60 in the May gold futures, up $14. The Dow currently stands at just about 175 points higher at 83.86, and the U.S. dollar at 83.97 is down 0.57 on the afternoon. The CRB index at 232 is up 2.96 for the afternoon.
WILL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois.
Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like. Tonight, clear to partly cloudy across the two states. Lows between 45 and 50. Tomorrow, in western and northern Illinois, becoming partly cloudy to mostly cloudy with scattered showers and isolated thunderstorms arriving during the afternoon in Indiana and eastern Illinois. Mostly sunny early tomorrow, then increasing cloudiness. Highs will range from 63 in northeastern Illinois to 74. In the southern parts of Indiana, despite a midweek precip event, the next week to 10 days is shaping up much more favorable in all areas. While weather will not be totally dry, there is much less rainfall than advertised in the last few runs of the Global Forecast System computer models.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. It's a production of Illinois Public Media. On the line with us on a Monday afternoon, Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Is this what you expected on a Monday?
Well, somewhat. Your observation of the weather forecast sort of kept the corn market in check in the overnight trade and through today. Then, with the beans, the Chinese bean demand strong, that kept the front end on the beans. But when you look at the Dow and the crude oil and the metals, traders or the public, I should say, kind of question you why the grains didn't follow suit. And that probably can be explained by the fact that some of these equity traders are starting to chase the stock market and sort of putting the commodity market, especially the grain market, back on the back burner here for a day or two. When you listen to these guys and talk to them, some of these hedge funds were short to equities or having to come out and cover shorts, and some of these traders have been sitting the sidelines, now feel the urgency to sort of get in the stock market. So I think the grain complex sort of was ignored here until some more fundamental news arises here or reason to come in and take a position in the grain market, Todd.
And let me reiterate what our own Mike Sola has written for the forecast for today, actually for the extended forecast for the week. He says, despite a midweek precip event, the next week to 10 days is shaping up much more favorably for the area, that being Illinois and Indiana. While weather, he says, will not be totally dry, there's much less rainfall advertised in the last few runs of the Global Forecast System computer model. So the GFS has been changing. Do you hear the same from other forecasters you listen to?
Pretty much so. I mean, each one has their own favorite model to follow, but when you look at the scorecard here, the forecast is, as you mentioned, spotty, less amounts. The big question mark will be this coming weekend, but there's going to be some activity take place in some of the regions. This afternoon, corn planting progress is expected to be 35 to 39% complete versus 22% last week, 27% a year ago, and 50% on the average. So when you compare it to a year ago, we're still ahead of that pace, but that pace can change quickly if the forecast would turn wetter and might not be able to make as much headway as one anticipates. Bean progress expected to be 5 to 8% complete versus 11% on the average. But once again, most of the activity is in the Western Belt. You get into Western, Northern Iowa, Minnesota, Nebraska, quite a bit of activity done here. And there's a few spots here in Illinois that has been able to get in for 1 or 2 days, but that's been about it, Todd.
Let's take the grains and oil seeds up separately. We'll start with the corn. The idea, I suppose, is that we'd been in a weather market, and they took the premium out of it today just because they think the producers are going to get into the field. And given the experience of last year, if they're really ahead on this Monday, that they're in line under normal growing conditions the rest of the way out for an awfully good crop. Is this correct?
Pretty much so. I think you got to figure the norm at this point in time. We really don't know what the weather's going to bring, and to really have a weather marker from here on out, you're going to have to see the extreme come in, and there's no real indication at that this present time. Then on corn, you look at the fundamental supply-demand balance sheet. Right now, we're just close to 1.7 billion bushel carryout. That's plenty of supplies around. When you look at demand, demand has picked up, so maybe that number can come down a little bit. But when you roll it into next year, the current acreage, you know, it indicates with a normal yield, we're not going to run out of corn. So there's no real urgency to get real excited at the present time unless the weather would turn back wet all of a sudden again, or else we get to hot, dry growing conditions down the road. Also, too, if you look at the supply-demand balance sheet for next year, a lot of analysts are upping the demand side of the equation, so we're going to have to see this demand stay strong or pick up going into next year, too, Todd.
makes the case for a neutral corn market then?
Consolidation. We feel that it's up and down. I've been mailing charts out to just about everybody showing that if you look at a price chart and you go back to October and you connect the highs and connect the lows, we really haven't gone anywhere since last October. We've been up, we've been down, but, the chart will show you we've got resistance just above the market here, and we've got good support just under $4 here on the basis of December futures. And the people that's been doing the best is the ones trying to take a little out of the middle here, because that's what we've been doing, up and down, up and down. I see that trend continue here until we get some news to push us either way.
And then on the flip side, you have the soybeans, which traders will look at and say, as long as May is okay, farmers will plant corn one way or the other. Bean acreage not likely to go up because of delayed corn planting. Usage has been awfully good, at least export demand from China, and it appears they're actually buying as opposed to buying and then canceling. And then you have an Argentine soybean crop that is getting smaller and smaller, or at least has to this point. So that looks like it may be a neutral to friendly marketplace. Is that the right way to term it?
Oh, I just say outright bullish. there's no neutral there. It's an old crop.
Right.
You nailed it right on the head there. China just won't go away. I mean, we're going to have to run beans to 12 to 12 and a half to maybe slow their buying down a little bit. But basically, the Argentine crop has been forecast down into this low 30 million metric ton. USDA is at 39. Last year, they had 46 million metric tons. Argentina had the worst drought in 50 years, and they're talking about not even exporting whole beans. They might export some bean products. So that continues to put the lion's share of the demand on Brazil and us here in the U.S. So there's ideas this supply-demand balance sheet on the domestic side here in the U.S. can get even tighter yet. And so that's going to put the old crop in a position here where it's going to hold some value here until this Chinese buying subsides slow down here. So beans still have some room to go. May contract, the lead contract here, if you retrace a half back up to the highs we made last summer, that says $12.15 basis of May futures.
Now, are you going to let old crop go at that point?
We've been encouraging guys to keep selling as we go here, because it's awful hard to sell when the market turns south. We always wait for a rebound. Doesn't happen. So, yes, we've been encouraging producers to keep rewarding the market. Some have rewarded it to the point they have very little old crop beans left, and that explains why the bean market is probably strong. Producers are probably sold out of beans and still have quite a bit of corn to sell yet.
Yeah, are you a cautious seller of new crop or want to hold on?
On new crop beans, we're 30% priced. We feel that this bullish momentum could run out of steam here on the demand side, and the bean acres could be higher as we go down the road. We recommend to be 100% covered in put options. That way you've got a floor under you. If the market goes higher, you still have more cash grain to sell. But if this Chinese bean demand would slow and we see confirmation we have an extra 3 million acres, this bean market could turn south in a hurry.
And if they have more questions, they can always call you, can't they, Kurt?
Oh, yeah, no problem.
All right, Kurt Kimmel, thanks much.
Take care, thanks.
Hey, Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities. He's out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. Happens each and every Monday afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Asgrow's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Lernard Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270.
You, of course, are listening to Illinois Public Media. This is the Closing Market Report. I'm your host, urging you to visit our website. The address is willag.org. If you can't get there to listen to this program again, if you'd like to, or you didn't hear it for the very first time on the radio, how about visiting our phone number and listening to a portion of it? The numbers at the just after the opening, after the close, and a little bit of analysis. It's all for free at 217-333-3434. We call it our mobile analyst portal. It's just a telephone number, and you can dial it up anytime at 10:15 and 3:15 daily.
In agricultural news, South Dakota Senator John Thune has introduced a bill that would order the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency to consider only direct life cycle greenhouse gas emissions in its proposed regulations on ethanol. The EPA is on the verge of setting low-carbon fuel standards that could penalize corn-based ethanol for indirect land use effects. Thune's bill would require EPA to publish the model it uses to measure life cycle greenhouse gas emissions before taking regulatory action in order to create a process to allow ethanol producers to petition the EPA to waive greenhouse gas reduction requirements in the renewable fuel standard. A waiver would be possible if greenhouse gas requirements prevent the industry from meeting the RFS, contribute to U.S. dependence on foreign oil, or create an economic burden on the ethanol industry. Meanwhile, Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid predicts that Congress will make enough progress on climate change legislation this year to boost prospects for success at December's Copenhagen Summit on cutting greenhouse gases. Reid says, quote, "I think we're going to have by the end of this year something that we can take to the conference that will be held in Europe. Leaders from around the world will meet at December's summit in Copenhagen to write a successor treaty to the Kyoto Protocol, which placed limits on emissions of carbon dioxide and other pollutants blamed for climate change." The World Health Organization says now that 20 countries worldwide have banned imports of pork and other meat in response to the H1N1 flu virus that has infected both people and swine. The countries that have imposed bans include Russia, China, Switzerland, Croatia, Indonesia, Thailand, and Ecuador. Global trade in pork meat is worth about $26 billion a year. The three countries most affected by the bans announced to date, Mexico, the U.S., and Canada, are among the world's top pork exporters. And Tyson Foods, the world's largest meat producer today, says that it posted a bigger-than-expected loss in its fiscal second quarter on charges and declining beef sales. Tyson Foods lost $104 million, or 28 cents a share, for the period ending March 28th. That compares with a loss of $5 million, or 2 cents per share, a year earlier. Sales dipped 1% to $6.31 billion from $6.34 billion. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, Director of Agricultural Programming at Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Reminding you to visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find this program, other agricultural programming you can listen to anytime you'd like. Sign up to have it delivered to your computer automatically as a podcast, or sign up for our weekend newsletter. It's all absolutely free at willag.org. Now, up next, you know the fundamental news in the soybean market is good for prices. That, according to an ag economist at the University of Illinois. I'll have more on why it may mean a rally is in the making.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Mike Morris in McHenry at 815-344-7213. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Fundamental news in any market is that which can be characterized as tangible or countable or real. In the case of soybeans this spring, that means an official estimate of the size of the soybean crop that continues to get smaller in Argentina and continued aggressive purchases of the oilseed by China. Well, combine those two and it means China will need to buy soybeans from the United States, says University of Illinois Extension ag economist Daryl Good.
And with a small crop in Argentina, the U.S. is going to be in a very good position to supply the export market for the next year. So with that ongoing strong export pace, the already small forecast of year-ending stocks, might still be a little too high on soybeans?
Not too high in terms of price, but rather in terms of how many bushels of soybeans are left in the bin this coming fall from last season's harvest, otherwise known as the 08-09 ending stocks. It's currently pegged at 165 million bushels. It might be too high or big. The smaller the ending stocks figure, the higher the price of soybeans. Daryl Good offers this advice for marketing beans.
And so I think on soybeans, certainly, we're in the territory where we say, on these kind of rallies, these kind of spikes, let's start making some small sales. I don't favor making huge sales at a time. I think just too much uncertainty to say that I'm going to be real aggressive just because I'm 70 cents above my insurance price. Because things could get pretty wild yet this summer, depending on where we end up with acreage and weather.
Still at 70 cents above the government insurance price, if a farmer bought insurance on his soybean crop, the Ovi Ag economist would get a good start at marketing the bean crop that probably isn't even in the ground yet. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Monday afternoon. Time to check the cash grain market. Greg Johnson of the Andersons is on the line with us. They're located right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Greg.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, do you agree? Could it be a wild ride through the summer months for the soybeans?
Oh, I think it's already started off wild, and it's only going to get worse, I'm afraid.
Well, tell me what farmers are thinking in this area about the planting progress they're making.
Well, it's easy to tell what they're thinking about the progress that's been made because it's been very, very limited.
Right.
Everybody's hoping to get in the field later this week, but that rain on Wednesday and Friday has got, if we do get those rains, obviously that shoots this week down. And then it becomes critical to get in the field next week. So it feels like it's just a little wet in general to think about getting in the field until mid to late week at the earliest, and we'll have to wait and see. But if we don't get those rains, we'll obviously see some planting progress. But I think when the numbers come out later today, it'll confirm what we already know, is that corn planting in the eastern Corn Belt is way behind. You know, we'll see single digits to, you know, something in the 10 to 15% range in the eastern Corn Belt, whereas west of the Mississippi, Iowa, Minnesota, Nebraska, three of the top four big states, will have, you know, probably surpassed 50% and well on their way to finishing up, you know, by the time, you know, the next 10 days to 14 days, I think they'll probably be done.
And did the rally Friday or today in the bean market, I guess, spark any interest in sales of corn or soybeans?
Corn, yes. We hit the magic $4 cash figure on Friday and again in the overnight session, and that triggered a lot of old crop corn sales. There is just confirms our feeling all along that there's plenty of old crop corn to be sold on these rallies, but beans, even though we hit $11 plus today, very few bean sales today.
And your bids for the day are?
Cash corn $3.95, new corn $3.95, cash beans $11.05, new crop $9.40, and cash wheat $4.61.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
That's Greg Johnson. He's with the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Joins us on the Closing Market Report each and every Monday afternoon. You can hear what Greg had to say again if you'd like at willag.org. That's willag.org. You'll also be able to hear our next segment there as soon as we get it posted to the website. We'll talk about the agricultural weather with the folks at Chesapeake Energy in just 2 minutes. Thank you.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Asgrow's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Lernard Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270. Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you. The closing market report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to cooley@admworld.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Monday afternoon. Time to check in on the agricultural weather forecast. The folks from Chesapeake Energy in Chicago join us this afternoon, and we have on the line with us John Davis. Good afternoon to you, John.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Well, tell me about this forecast. It looks like the models have dried things up, but here in our part of the world, at least, if we get midweek rainfall, it won't do us much good.
Well, we are going to have about 3 days of totally open weather across Illinois. So we have today, tomorrow, and Wednesday, and the next chance of rain coming in will be during the day on Friday. And that event looks like it's going to be more biased across the southern portion of the state, kind of, you know, south of Decatur, south of Springfield in that zone. And it doesn't look like central Illinois will get a lot out of that event. So we have three open days upcoming, one band of rain moving through parts of the state on Friday and Friday night, with the bias of that in southern Illinois, and then a dry stretch after that. So it certainly looks a lot more open than what we've seen lately.
Oh, that is good news. Farmers will be happy here and into the eastern Corn Belt. Tell me about the western part of the Corn Belt, parts of Iowa, Minnesota, Nebraska, I suppose maybe in part of Wisconsin and northern Illinois. How have they fared? It looks like they've been able to run pretty consistently.
They've had a very good start to the corn planting season across that region. And in a lot of areas, we're getting reports of corn planting basically finishing up across a lot of areas of the western Midwest. And now, so we're going to concentrate on bean planting across those locales. And the bottom line is that they also have a pretty good week upcoming, not totally dry across those regions, but about two-thirds of the acreage this week will tend to have open weather across the western Midwest. So the good conditions will continue this week in the western Midwest, although it does look like the western Midwest will become the biased area for more significant rainfall as we go into next week. But by next week, you're going to see a lot of crops planted in the western Midwest.
Let's move to China, where farmers are attempting to plant the world's second largest corn crop at this time. How are they doing?
Extremely good. In fact, moisture levels are quite good. The pattern is quite favorable, and it's a very, very good start across North China.
And the Australian wheat crop going into ground all right?
Yeah, well, they're just starting to go in right now, and there are some issues across the region. In fact, some lingering issues from the problems they've had here recently, and there are certain areas of Australia that are certainly in need of getting better rainfall as we get more into the heart of planting.
And then take wheat up as a crop anywhere on the globe you think needs to be talked about?
That would probably be the biggest issue right now would be Australia.
Well, just the Australian wheat crop. Okay. Yeah. Ukraine didn't suffer any winter damage at all, you think?
Well, from that event 4 or 5 weeks ago, you likely had some issues with that. But since then, they've been in very good shape.
All right. Thanks much.
You're welcome, Todd.
We'll talk with him again next Monday. That's John Davis. He's with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report each and every Monday afternoon. Once again, if you'd like to hear the report again, you can do that at willag.org, willag.org. Tomorrow and every Tuesday during the growing season, we bring you updates from the statisticians in the I states, plus Minnesota and Nebraska. Those are the five top corn-producing states in the nation. So if you want to hear directly from them what their conditions are like and how much acreage has been planted to each crop, make sure you tune in to the Closing Market Report tomorrow right here on this radio station to get that update from the USDA's state statisticians. I'm Todd Gleason. Have a great afternoon.